let us all say amen. I don't know about you. One day he's going to call us from labor to the other side. And I don't know about you that when that time comes, all I want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Once again, it is good to see each and every one of you. I hope and pray all is well with you. You sound like y'all about ready to go somewhere. Amen. And you know, and that's how it ought to be, church. I mean, if I can't come in here and say hallelujah and praise God and let my hair down, where can I go but to the Lord? And it's always good to see you. And once again, just want to encourage your heart. The world we live in is in a mess, but that doesn't mean we have to be a mess. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus says the thief has come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The abundant life we have is we don't have to worry about a whole lot of things on this time side of life. If you are worried about them, maybe you don't know the Jesus that I'm talking about. Because the Jesus I'm talking about says, man is not measured by what he possesses, but whether or not he's in the right relationship with his God. And church, and I'm learning that the more you spend time in this book, the more you allow God to operate in your everyday life, church, and develop those nine attributes that you received when you went in that watery grave, I'm learning that the more you embrace them attributes, boy, you talk about control. You talk about leading and guiding and directing us. That when Satan throws them darts at us, boy, we'd back the California palm. Just wait. He can't hit us. Because, church, we're protected by God. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're it. And that ought to motivate us to a higher plateau. We've been looking at this text in Galatians chapter 6. And round about verse number 9, where Paul writes these words to remind the believer that you're only going to reap if you remain steadfast, if you remain unmovable, if you remain in the word of God and do his will. In due season, we're going to reap. And most people think that means some financial. Well, you might reap a little of that too. But I don't know about you. I want something that perish, that fadeth not away. See, this stuff here is what have but one purpose, and that's to be used and go get something else. Amen. So if you hold on to all that junk, you need to clear. That's right, because that's the whole purpose of it, is to be used and go get some more. But I want something that neither moth nor rust can corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Church, I'm talking about that crown that he has promised each and every one of us if we remain steadfast in our Christian walk. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and round about verse number 57, Paul says, but thanks be to God that gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. And then he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. We need some steadfast folk this day. We look at the world we live in. We need some brothers and sisters that are steadfast in their Christian walk. No matter what transpires, I'm going to serve God. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know. What do I know? I'm not doing this because I have nothing better to do. I'm doing this because one day he's going to call me from labor to the other side. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, for if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, Paul said, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And church, and I'm beginning to really understand what Paul is really talking about. Paul said in the book of Philippians, I'm torn between the two. Yeah. What kind of problem you got, Paul? You know, I want to stay here with y'all. I paraphrase. You go back and read. I want to stay here with you, which is far better to be with you. But you said, Paul said, I would rather be with the Lord. Because being with the Lord, and then remember what he says? For if we're in this earthly house of this tabernacle, we're absent from God. That's some powerful stuff. And so this morning, I just stopped by to encourage your heart and give you some words to let you know that in the midst of all of your trials and tribulations, you don't have to stay there. Amen. He's given us everything we need to rise to a higher plateau in our Christian walk. If the world is getting you down, visit the cross again. If you don't know which way to head, visit the cross. Because I'm learning that when you visit the cross, you'll see that Jesus stands there with open arms. In Revelation chapter 3 and roundabout, I believe, verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door," all you got to do is open the door. And so this morning, I'm encouraging you that if Satan is at your doorstep, open the door and let Jesus in. And guess what he'll do? He'll get Satan up out of there. Amen. Church, I'm learning that as a child of God, I don't have to be like I used to be. And I'm thankful to God that I'm not like I used to be. Because I can remember a time I could line a few folk up and get rid of them. But now I line you up and give you a hug. Give you a come on, y'all, work with me. That's how it had to be. Paul, in this lesson text in Galatians chapter 6, would write these words to encourage the believer. The Bible says in verse number 6, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Do not be deceived." Let that sink in. If Paul is telling the church, don't be deceived, it can be inferred here in this passage of scripture that they are being deceived. And so Paul is trying to elevate their mind, elevate their thinking, that they will not allow Satan to deceive us. And he knows exactly what he's doing. He's been here since the dawn of time. And who told us that we can match wits with him? Huh? Who told you that? You know, you give to Satan, you can't even give Satan a toenail. Because you give him a toenail, he's going to not just take the foot, he's going to take the leg and everything else. So why would we even give into him? And let me tell you, when you have a negative attitude, guess what Satan do? He just eats on that. And the more negative you bring out, the more he eats on that. And after a while, you just sitting in the corner, a big old ball of negativity. Amen. Now, why can't we be like that with the love? If you let God in your heart, and let a little of that love of God comes in you. After a while, everything you come in contact with is all about love. Church, we ought to be the most excited folk on the face of the earth. You know why? He died. He freed us from the cares of this world. Verse number 7, he says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Paul says, the one you lead is the one that's going to feed. If you sow to the physical man, guess what? That might be why you have so many problems. See, because the physical man can't solve nothing. Nothing. It's the spiritual man that helps the physical man understand that nothing or no one can stop him but himself. He goes on to say in verse number 8, "For he who soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he who soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing." Oh, I wish I had some time with that. Because don't you just get tired of helping somebody out all the time? All the time. Every time you turn around, you got to help somebody out. And you just want to throw up both hands. You get to the point where, here. Yeah, you know how we do things. Do you not know you're growing weary? That's growing weary because God has blessed you, not for you. I better say that again, Stan. That sounded pretty good. God did not bless you for you. He blessed you so you can carry the message of the cross to a dying world. Jesus came and died to free us from sin that we might also free somebody else. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17. "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to him through his son, Jesus Christ, and have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. You've been saved for a purpose, and it's not for you. It's to help somebody else see Christ in us. Paul says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God was pleased through Christ, we beseech you on Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God, for God made him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of him. Check your pulse. Check your pulse. Y'all check y'all's pulse real quick. Check your pulse. Do you feel that? If y'all don't feel it, something wrong. I just want to encourage your hearts this morning, church, that as children of God, we got a serious mission ahead of us. The world don't know which way it's headed. Our children are confused because we might be confused. It's time for the body of believers to stand up and let folks know that it's in him we live, we move, and we have our very being. I'm convinced that until you and I get excited about who we are, it's going to be hard to change the world in which we live in. In our lesson text, verse number 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. If they come 100 times, don't grow weary. If they ask you for your coat, give them your cloak as well. Because when you grow weary, that's when sin lies at the door. That's when Satan knows that all it takes is just one more can you, and I got you. Hey, the devil knows his job. I want to encourage us to know ours. Our job is, no matter what transpires in the midst of growing weary, be like the Lord. Withdraw yourself and go to the mountaintop and get some refreshment from God himself, and then come back and get right back into the battle. That's the whole key in our Christian walk. And so Paul says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. And I'm learning that as long as you're doing what God said, you won't grow weary. Why don't we grow weary in coming to worship? Well, I don't, because I see your smiling face. And then you have something to offer me, and I have something to offer you. You have words to encourage my heart, to help me to know that in the midst of everything that's going on, it's going to be all right, because we serve an awesome God. Amen. And I give you that same stuff. And after a while, boy, we are just, are we? Amen. It's in our well-doing, church, that helps us to stay focused and stay on the right track. And so Paul says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, In due season, I want you to see something here. In due season, something's going to happen. It ain't going to happen when you expect it to happen, but in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. And so Paul here want to remind the believer that in due season, you'll reap eternal salvation if you remain steadfast, unmovable in this time side of life. In due season, you will overcome many of the obstacles you face in your everyday life, but it's only going to happen in due season. I'm learning that due season is not my season. Amen. I've learned that God does not operate off of my time frame. I wish he did. And you do too. Don't just go and tell the truth. But he does not operate on your time frame, nor does he operate on mine. Matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah, I believe, 55 verses 8 and 9, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. As far as the heaven is from the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways. God says, you don't even think like me. Amen. Would to God we did. Boy, because if we thought like God, would we have half the problems that we'd have? No, we wouldn't. But you know, somewhere down the line, as God's children, we're going to have to start thinking like him. And when we think like him, watch out. Look at the history of the first century church. When they started thinking the way the apostles told them that Jesus wanted them to think, what happened? They grew 5,000 men. They didn't count the women. But as the church started growing, Jerusalem was filled. God had to separate them so it could spread on some more. That don't cost you nothing there. In this text, Paul talks about being in due season. And I know what due season means from a physical sense, because I don't like green bananas. I have to wait on its season in order for me to eat them. I don't eat green tomatoes unless I'm frying them. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all going on back. Because it's all about due season. James says the farmer waits on due season. He waits on the early rain and he waits on the latter rain because he knows if he's going to reap of harvest, he's going to have to wait for a due season. He's going to have to wait. And in the process of his waiting, he just don't sit there on his hands. Message church, in due season, heaven's going to be your home. If you do what God commands us to do right now. The farmer doesn't sit on his hand, but he tills the ground. He nurtures the ground. He nurtures the plant. And if there's going to be a cold spell, he puts some plastic over the plant. That's what God does to us. God nurtures us. He builds us up. And he builds us up how? Through his word. And the more we apply his word and take off the things that hinders in our Christian walk, in due season, we're going to reap. And what we're going to reap is eternal salvation. Paul in this text says, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And so I've come up with some stuff to help me along, and I hope and pray it'll help you. That in due season, what do I need to do in order to make this due season work for me? First and foremost, I've learned I got to be diligent in my duty to God. That's right. I'm learning that no matter what transpires, he has to be first and foremost. If he's not first and foremost, guess what I'm going to reap? Maybe not eternal salvation. In due season. James chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fathers and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. My relationship to God must be first and foremost. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? And I'm learning, church, that when he's first and foremost in our everyday life, Satan does not stand a chance. And see, and when our duty to God comes into play, then guess what? We learn how to understand our brothers. Oh, yeah, I've learned how to understand you. Because as you walk in the light and I walk in the light, what can hinder us? What can stop us? Nothing. Nothing, not even no one. Let me show you what Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul reminds us to understand one another. And the way we understand one another is we got to know who we are. That's right. Do y'all know who I am? Yeah. Who am I? Oh, thank you, Jesus. y'all might not understand what she said, but I do. I'm just not anybody. I'm a child of Jehovah. And Jehovah owns the whole world. And if I'm his child, anything I should lack, anything should hinder me, nothing at all. See, we got to know and understand one another. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1 is not the one. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, and verse number 1. I got my wires crossed, but that's okay. I'll uncross them here in a few minutes. No, the things that you've seen and heard of me, the same commit to faithful men. Give me a minute. Give me one hot second. One hot second. I know it's in here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. See, when I understand who my brother is and I understand his commitment to the Lord, then guess what? It's not difficult to encourage my brother. That's right. When I encourage him, look at what Paul says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No man that warreth entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, he is not crowned unless he strives lawfully. See, in due season, we're going to reap if we don't lose heart, if we don't give up. And see, and I'm learning, first and foremost, my duty to God has to be first. And then when I understand who God is, I'll understand who you are. And then I'm able to encourage you and to help you to see the importance of serving God with all of your heart. That's right. I'm learning that until you surrender you and give God all of you, it's hard to serve God with all of your heart. Matthew chapter 22, around about verse 36 and following, Jesus says that there's two commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, I'm learning that when I really love God with all of my heart, guess what? I'll encourage you. Guess what? I'll understand you. And guess what? You'll understand that our duty as members of the body of Christ work together for the benefit of the gospel. And then not only must I serve him with all of my heart, guess what? We got to edify one another. Oh, yeah, it's real easy to beat you down. And guess what? I know how to do it. I got a big old hammer out there. No. But no, that ought not to be. Uh-oh, did I go too far? No, edify one another. Look at what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Paul says, God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondary, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, when we edify one another, we can build one another up. And when we build one another up, guess what it'll do? It'll change our attitude. Oh, yeah. It'll change the attitude of the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. See, the mind of Christ is very important, because once you develop the mind of Christ, your relationship to God is automatic. That's right. I don't do this because I have nothing better to do. No, I know what transpired on Calvary. Amen. He died for me.
Yes, sir.
Man, that brings tears to my eyes. Because he died for me, because I was no good. Lost. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, I was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. But God looked down the cord of time and saw a need to serve me. And then when that attitude changed, guess what? You'll understand who you are as a servant of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. A servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will grant them acknowledging of the truth, and they may escape the snares of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. That's some scary stuff there. That Satan can take us captive when we're not doing the will of God. And see, when a servant understands who he or she is, he understands how to walk in the light. He understands the difference between right and wrong. And even when he falls into sin, he's able to come out of sin because he knows who he or she is. And then I'm learning, as a servant of God, you got to learn to be obedient to the word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, that should be 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 15. No, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. And the more we listen to the word, the more we apply the word, the more we understand the word, guess what, church? Nothing. Nothing will stop you in your Christian walk. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thank you. I'm glad somebody is following along with me. That's right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Nothing can stop us in our Christian walk. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. Church, hope I've said something to help us to understand that in due season, as believers, we should reap eternal salvation if we remain steadfast and unmovable in our Christian walk. If we remain without sin until he calls, and the way we do is we confess our faults one to another and we encourage one another. See, in order for us to reap in due season, it requires a constant diet of the Word of God. It requires a constant application of the Word of God. And it requires each and every one of us to examine ourselves each and every day whether or not we are doing the will of the Father or have we got caught up in some other will. I want to encourage you this morning as God's believers, get weary, but don't give up. Don't allow Satan to get the upper hand in your life. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.